through this. What did you mean by that?
Well, we still feel...
Evening News, Monday the 23rd of September, 1928. First day back to the office.
This is my rounds. This is Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over. And my rounds on Thursday, the 3rd of October 1968. This is second day in a row, 3 days this week, on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I played out this morning. I couldn't direct it. And this is first time now I finally got over to Miss Patterson. This first time, way back. Not all hardly all summer. And this is Channel 1 over. This is the reel called My Rounds. And this is My Rounds on Thursday morning, the 3rd of October, 1968. And Miss Patterson's. And then at Jim Gilbert's.
Hey, you mean I got here early for coffee?
Well, maybe. You know I heard it.
Well, it's Cypress back. There's so much anywhere else.
Wonder where did you get that idea, Mabel?
Well, we knew a doctor one time that had one of those things that he would use on you. It's still on. That anybody's got bad circulation, it helps. And his circulation is bad. And it does help your circulation.
So you just lay back, turn the button?
And turn put your feet out. You see that lever back there? You pull that lever and the thing comes out and takes care of your feet.
Yeah.
And it does help you when anybody can't walk, no matter if he can or I can.
And that's what it's designed for.
That's what it's designed for circulation.
Well, now, how'd you get on to that?
Well, I don't know. They've been making them a good long time.
Well, where'd you get
them? I read about them and seen them.
Oh, you've seen them?
Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, these motels and things like that they've got them on your bed where you can put a quarter in there and it'll run 15 minutes and shut off. And Phil said you're asleep by the time that thing stops.
Oh, you saw them in the motel?
Oh, yeah.
Going out west. He said that they, yeah.
Why do you know about that?
And it's underneath the chair, you see, and when you prop your feet up, you get a better vibration.
Oh, yes, I see.
And
that.
They say it does help your feet. Yeah. I mean, legs and all that circulation and all.
Oh, you know, you drive 600-700 miles in a day. You still driving, you know, you still ride.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you turn one of them vibrating beds on.
Yeah.
And, it vibrates for 15 minutes. Well, when it goes off, you're done riding. You're ready to go to sleep.
Is that right?
Yes, it is. It helps all.
Well, now, Mabel, let me tell you.
Hey, for you to get.
Yeah.
Well, it is good for old folks. I've got one of those, you know, with your hand.
Yeah.
And all like that. I've used it for my shoulder, you know, things like that.
Yeah, it's good.
And it is good. And you can have the cramp, and that'll knock it out of there right now. Do you ever have the cramp?
In my leg?
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then I got a charley horse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you call that a cramp?
That'll knock it out of there.
That what you call a cramp?
Yeah. In other words, like those leaders is drawing.
Yes, and it'll knot up on you.
You got to come out of that bed, too.
You
got
to do something.
Yeah, well, you can just grab that and put that on it, and it'll knock it out of there right now.
I never did understand why, when you wasn't doing a thing, you something like that would hit you.
In the bed, I can sometimes, when I got a bad, you know, move, see that toe's got it right now. Do your foot like that, and that toe will get it.
Oh, really? It's the way you do it, move it?
Yeah, whenever it's bad on you, any way you move your foot, you'll get it.
Sure. If I eat a lot of sweets, I'll have that cramp.
Of vinegar?
Something like that.
Eat pickles or sweets, anything like that'll give it to you.
Well, I never.
Get older.
Is that right?
Now, you just notice it when you have it, think about what you've eaten.
Well, I'll tell you, I could have it any time if I just shift that leg right. You know.
Well, that's it. Well, just like that toe with me.
Man, I want
you. I'm telling you, this should get something to cook. I'm tired of it. He's got to go to town today to the doctor. And they got in the collard plants and cabbage plants. I'm going to get some. They're going to plant it out there. I'd give her something green to eat.
Oh, yes. Well, if I'd like to contribute some, too.
They got those collard plants from Tipton, Georgia. And that's where we've got them on the plant up there. And I declare they're better than any of you can get.
Oh, really?
And so they got them in. This morning said they hadn't got them because I done called this morning. They said they had them.
Oh.
And so they hadn't got them brought in yet.
Uh-huh.
You know, from the bus brought them.
Yeah.
And so they'd have them in about 9 o'clock.
Well, I didn't have any idea where they got the plants.
Well, they got them up. It's, what is it? A knee, Omega?
Omega.
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 That's right out of Tifton. You know, where about 6 miles, where they have that big farm, they raise them at.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really good.
Them people that started to raising them plants up there, they used to live in my mother's house. When my mother married, her daddy gave her 5 acres of land and built a house on it. And I was born there. And I think mother's sister was born there, and next sister. I know three of us was born there, I think. But then they moved away and rented that place to these folks. Welch's was their name, and their first baby was born there, and my aunt was mighty foolish about the baby and all like that, and they nicknamed that baby Hurley. I don't know why they named.
Well, they're the bangest people that here, folks, none of them hardly called by the right name. Everyone fails a nickname.
But they
one of them have a nickname for them.
They named that hair girl Hurley, the baby. Well, there was 2-3 more born there, and their daddy was a painter, painted houses. And he got this lead poisoning or something like that, and got to be an invalid, and he couldn't couldn't work, and they have bought a little old place. They moved down to Sylvester, Georgia, and we were living there when they moved down there, and they bought a little place out about a couple of miles from town. And they went raising vegetables, and the old man could sit in a little old wagon that he had made and all, and peddle those vegetables. And he would peddle those vegetables. Well, this here girl got to planting seed beds, just a small patch of seeds, you know, and selling the plants. And she was grown, and she got to where she got a cedar and planted 2-3 acres. Then she got to planting as much as 25, 30, 40 acres of that thing. And now them there people went to making money. That's all they did then was just plant, and that old girl, and I ain't lying to you, my mama sent me out there. I was about grown, so I reckon 17, 18 years old. Sent me out there for some plants for her garden, and that old girl went down there with me to get them plants, and I'll be darned if her foot wasn't that long. I never seen such a foot in my life as on that old gal. And that's where that there plant business started from. That old girl just started planting just a small bed of plants and sell them to the neighbors, you know. And next year, they didn't have enough this year, you know. And next year, she'd plant a little bit bigger bed.
Yeah.
And that was her private outfit, you know, when it started that little bed. But when she got up with a tractor and a planter and all like that, and then built a shed and started packing those things, creating them and shipping them all over the country. And I don't guess that I've seen any of those people, but they tell me the same family is running that outfit today.
Yeah.
That started back when I was about 17, 18 years old.
Yeah. And then they even send out collards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They have collards and cabbage plants.
Collards? Oh, yes. They have old tomato plants.
But when do you put in cabbage?
Now. We plant them now.
They just
plant in October, and
I
didn't go to cut them the first of the year.
Yeah.
You know, for market.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fair, but I'm going to tell you, these chain stores, there used to be a man, I don't know where you were heard him or not, before TV's come in, that he was on the radio once or twice a week, and he told people what was going to happen about these chain of stores.
Oh,
I told them not to.
I expect you know old man Henderson, wasn't it?
No.
He was at in Louisiana.
And everybody said he was a fanatic, and the very thing he said happened.
He run a foundry there.
He said that if they got... Said they kept you go to trade with a chain of stores. Then you put the little merchants out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Says then when they put them out, says then the chain of stores would have it and the prices would be whatever they wanted.
Yeah, is that right?
And he told them to do it. He said that it'll run this country if you do it.
Oh.
And now then that they plant, you know, raise all the shit. Frozen food, AMP and all that has those places down, Windex and all.
Yeah.
And they put up all their frozen stuff. And
20,
people
say,
well, they don't buy the fresh vegetables, they buy that old frozen stuff.
Buy that old frozen stuff.
And this old man Henderson, he bought time on the radio. The thing, they got to where they wouldn't let him have no time. And he
put up his own?
Put one up himself.
Yeah.
But the very thing that he, for several years, that, you know, he'd come on and tell people what was going to happen, and it's just like he said it was going to be.
Well, you know, they say, you might say now, all right, what difference it make? You can go and get your stuff at the chain stores. But, you know, Mabel, it makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference.
It just is chain saying. And, you know, it'd just be hard.
Look at Micanopy, this by the card. Cheaper there, 3 or 4 cents cheaper than you can buy it in Gainesville.
Yeah.
Now, that's the truth.
Yeah.
I forget how many, just a few cents, but they do sell it cheaper out here than they do in Gainesville.
Yeah.
But now, if you watch those chain of stores, you may think you're getting things cheap.
Yes.
Something.
Yeah.
But just like my sister and all been in. She said that her and her son eats with her, and his wife, both of them work, you know, and Ruby fixes lunch and dinner for them. And her son goes with them, they buy groceries. Well, they don't want nothing but the best, and said that they picked up some meat that they wanted ground to have for hamburgers. And they got them picked out some they wanted for steak and asked them to tube it. And she says when she got home in the middle of that meat that she had told them to grind, now she didn't pick up the old hamburger meat that's already ground. She got the meat and asked them to grind it.
Mm-hmm.
Says when she got home, they had put a little bit of look like brown on the outside, and in the middle said it was just as black as it could be. at meat bars and mm-hmm. said that that wasn't, it was just gristles that was tubed. And she carried it back down there, and they give her a little static, and she went to the manager about it, and she told him she was going to do something about it. She just wasn't going to put up with them taking her meat like that. She bought choice of meat, and I agree with they give her that old steel mm-hmm. stuff that they had back there.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought she would never say nothing about it, would never know no different. Mm-hmm. But she
if she did, wouldn't go to trouble of doing
going back.
It.
But she said that wasn't the meat that they had. So they had a nice piece of it's all meat. And they wanted it ground to have it for the hamburgers, for half a lunch and things that way.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that right in the middle was just as black as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just old meat. That was it.
Well, you know, one afternoon, Mabel come by the place and she asked me, says, have you got any money? I said, I got $2-3. She says,
you want smoke over?
No.
She says, that's enough. And she said, I got to go by the...
Sitting in this chair while I got a chance.
The grocery store. And the grocery store's up there.
That's his birthday present.
University yeah. Bank is now. And went in there, and she picks up some little old something other. And I was keeping a count of how much she's got. And when she got back, the girl last added up with the machine, said something. I told her, I says, that ain't right. That was one of them days I was kind of mean anyway, you know. And I told her, I says, that's not right. She added up again. I told her, I says, that still is not right. And she started gapping, and a big old fat woman, she was manager there, I reckon. She come on to know what was wrong. I said, it seemed like this girl having some trouble adding up these here few items here. And here she went and she added up. Now that was three times it was added up, and my God, it still wasn't right. I told her, I said, you had 3 cents of it. I says, I imagine that's about as close as you'll ever get.
Well, now
she done got ashamed of me and left. She, yeah. I was there by myself.
Well, I'll tell you what
and
happened.
You know, it was a long time before she let me go back in there with her.
We was in Jacksonville at Daylight Savings Store on Main Street. They had a big supermarket there, and then they had one out on Southside. You know, they're wholesale people, too. You know, Fred Wood buys from them.
Yeah.
From Daylight. Yeah, but they have a retail store there, too. And we went in there and we bought right smart of groceries. Well, everything we bought fell wrote down what it was and what the price of it was. Try mm-hmm. it sometime. Now, it'll work.
All right. I'll do that, Mabel. I'll do it.
And he added it up before we ever went up there.
Yeah.
And when they added it up, it was $2.70 too much. I mean, more than he had added it. He says, that is not right. And so... they added it again, and she got just as nervous as she could be. And Phil says, that is still not right. And then the manager of the store, he came up there, and he added it up, and he didn't get it right. Phil says, now here's the figures, and this is what the price of the stuff. And he says, now you can add it from my figures, and you'll get it right. And they kept on until they did get it right, and we went in there one more time, and it was the same thing.
Why, Mabel?
Now, that's the truth. And they tell me, God, now whether it's so or not, I don't know. But I have known of people saying that girls would stop working there because if they make them, like they'll have a broom, or they'll have something in that cage up there, you know, and they add that in your grocery, like you got a big a grocery. They'll add something in there. And if you happen to catch it, they say, oh, well, I thought this broom was yours.
Oh.
And see, they add, but now you add behind them, and you come money, you're finding out they're cheating you from $1 to $2.
Yeah.
Out of a big order. And, you know, that mounts up into lots of customers a day, now, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But now, those people that, now, my nephew, well, my niece, he just like my nephew. I love him because I do his wife. And, oh, Kelly, you met Maddie Lee, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
And well, her husband, years ago when they was first married, he was a manager of a chain store. And he says, every week you got to take inventory. And he says he checked up short every time they come around and taking inventory. They, every time they take inventory, he was short. And they told him, says, you've got to make enough money on your vegetables to pay for the paper and the sacks here if you don't, it's charged to you. And that's the way those managers, they got to pay for the, all the paper they used, all the sacks they used, and all like that out of the vegetables they got, and they're going to make it somewhere or another. They're not going to lose it. And he said that, like, back then, you know, it'd be maybe two cans of tomatoes for 15 cents. And 7.5 cents a can. Well, whenever they would, he was to ring it up, you have your price one thing, you ring it up at another. And so they told Skeet, says, you never will check out, ahead, unless you do those things. Skeet says, if that can of tomatoes is 7.5, I'm going to put 7.5 on it. Says, if it's 10, says, I'm going to put 10 cents on. Says, everything in this store goes up. And he said he went around and marked everything in that store, what anything he was supposed to check it up at. Hmm. Yeah, he said he knew that was
that one, man.
And he worked for him, I reckon, about 6-8 months, and he quit. He said, that's the biggest racket you ever seen.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like Wilson.
How they cheat. But I tell you, God, now about shirts that I found out over a period of years. Now that shirt he's got on there is an Arrow shirt. That shirt cost $7. Well, that shirt'll last him now. This is his second year on that shirt.
Yeah.
And you see it looks like it's brand new.
And it's comfortable.
It's comfortable. And he's got shirts in
this, this shirt is 2 years old.
That shirt was going on 2 years old.
I've got some in there that's 5 or 6 years.
He's got some that's older than that that he had when he worked up yon at the university. And they look like brand new shirts right now. That
yeah.
They're at least 8 or 10 years old. And when you wear the, when he's got some in there that he's older than that, 12 I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
He had on one of them the other day. They're getting you in the collars is wearing out and all like that now.
From Washington.
From Washington, but they have never faded one bit, and the color of them is just as pretty as it was the day you bought them, and they wear good.
Do you, you know, it used to be look like people had to boil things,
mm-hmm.
and wash them in such hot water, and
mm-hmm.
now, a lot of times, they even wash them in cool water.
But these cheaper shirts that you get, you wash them a time or two, and they fade,
yeah.
and then they begin to look bad. But now you've got a good shirt, and it pays in the long run when you buy a good one.
Well, there's a whole lot of difference in the way a shirt feels.
Yeah, you see, it's plenty of room in that shirt. I don't think they make nothing no better than that Arrow stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He likes the Arrow underwear, too.
Yeah.
And I can buy him a triple pair of that Arrow underwear. And it'll last him 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And you get that cheap stuff and shoot well, 6 months needs more.
Yeah, that's right.
So you haven't saved nothing.
That's fine. That's the little thing is you can have is underwear that don't fit
mm-hmm.
at all. That's about as miserable a thing as you want.
He don't look too happy over there in that straight chair after sitting over here.
Well, he,
I sat here a whole lot.
He sat there a lot of times.
That thing all the time.
But he, yeah, sometimes I look over and he's laying on his side in it.
Yeah.
Just laying on his side and he sleeps up a breeze about noontime.
Yeah.
But that's a nice chair, though.
Well.
Now, while you were gone, I thought I was going to do a lot to, you know, to go
yeah.
and see people I wanted to, you know. But it was so hot, I couldn't stand it. I'd
yeah.
go get the mail, come right back in, sit right in here this afternoon.
You just didn't want to go get away.
I just did. I couldn't take it. I just
yeah.
couldn't take that.
You know, out in Washington, and you were just as comfortable there. Well, where I stayed, they had this central heat.
Yeah.
And the heat would come on early in the morning.
Yeah.
The heat would come on in August now.
Yeah.
And
get
sun,
out of 40 degrees.
The sun went down about.
Won't you have a cup of cold?
No, thank you, Abel. By Monday, the sun went down about 9:30.
Yeah.
And it was cool. You didn't bother about in there. You didn't need no air conditioning in your car and all that. The climate out there was good, but they told me to the east about a couple hundred miles since it got cold there.
Yeah.
But where we was, right in the northwest corner of the United States, it was very comfortable there. They said they had a little snow there, but not a whole lot.
Well, how did it seem when you got back, Phil?
Boy, it was hot.
Yeah. And you noticed it more.
We stopped one morning about 10 o'clock at Needles, Arizona.
Yeah.
And for breakfast. And we went in there. When I stepped out of that car, I declare that was the hottest place I'd ever seen. I went on in, and when the waitress come to take our order, I asked her, I said, "Can you tell me what the temperature is this morning?" She says, "No," says, "it was about 105 when I came in a while ago." Fell over to the next table there, he says, "When I came in just a minute ago," says, "it was 112. And boy, it was what it was. The temperature was 112. Judge, it's hot.
Yes, sir.
Boy, they make them any size you want. They come in any size. You can get it that much higher than that one.
Oh.
Up there.
Yeah.
You know, for your head.
Yeah.
That one's high enough, fair, yeah, but if it's not high enough for you, you can buy one.
I'd strike off of this one.
And now you can buy one that is wider than that one, too. But that, you can take an ice stick and stick it in that one, and the hole just closes right back up.
Well, how in the world they figure that?
I don't know.
They'd use that now. I used to think it was genuine leather.
Yeah.
I used to think so. When they upholst automobiles, a better class automobile,
yeah,
you know, they upholstered with that, and I thought it was leather.
Uh-huh.
But it is.
Malkahide and something like that they call it.
Oh.
I forget what they call it.
But it's synthetic.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's made where that it'll close back up,
mm-hmm,
the whole world if you're sticking my eye stick in it.
Oh. Let's say it don't get one.
Jay Herlong's got over yonder and then sitting that one, see the difference. That his is just like, well, it's just a board across here, you know, and you can tell it when you sit down, you know, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But that one, no.
You know that daughter-in-law quote that.
Well, is his like this one?
Huh? Well, it don't have a vibrator on it, and all, it's a heap of difference in his chair than that one, though.
Well, where do you get chairs like this?
That came from Cox Furniture Store.
Uh-huh.
And so they'll order you any kind you want, and they'll order that thing and put on it if you want it.
Uh-huh.
So they'll order you one with it on there.
Uh-huh.
But they are good for people getting his shape.
And what do you call them?
That's the vibrator, and that's the name of that chair is Lazy Boy.
Lazy Boy, yeah.
They all do it now.
I can still do it. I can sit on a rail fence.
Yeah, Mary's birthday was yesterday, and we went over there and had cake and ice cream. But he told the crowd, wasn't one in that room that he intended to have a birthday present. His is next Tuesday. Out of it, he says that was Juanita. Juanita could buy him a birthday present for him. Says, "You done got it. That chair." I mean, done got his birthday present.
Oh, this is nice.
My gosh,
huh?
She hasn't bought us nothing.
Mm.
We bought her a washing machine and a dryer, right, brand new one, and put it in up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did. Because hers tore up.
Well, that's all right, but she ain't supposed to buy me nothing.
And,
Costly.
But anyway, one of the twins called us up and asked us, couldn't we buy them one? They're having such a hard time. So, you know, when they'd done it, we'd do without anything ourselves, you know. If so, short. But I wish, God, you could see the cakes that Mary makes.
Oh, really?
And the birthday cakes. And things that way. Now, Buddy, she's up where she's good. You can get them in the bakery. I don't believe it's pretty as she makes them.
Is that
because
right?
She puts more on them than they do. And her sister-in-law, her and her sister-in-law have been making them with me. Been a little genius all of her life in that cookie. She loves it, but she don't have to clean up behind herself.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, her sister-in-law made Mary one last night, and it was about that long. And she had a basket, just like a basket of roses. Had the basket, and then had it full of roses, rosebuds up there.
Oh.
It was as pretty a thing as you ever seen.
And she did that?
Mm-hmm. And her sister-in-law did that.
Mm-hmm.
But the boy had about birthday a month or two ago, and I got Mary. That lives up there.
Mm-hmm.
I got Mary to make me a birthday cake for him.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought it out here, and she made it long, too, you know, where she put all she wanted on it. And she decorated it like for a boy, and she mm-hmm. had written on there, "Happy Birthday to a Little Handyman."
Yeah.
And at the other end, she had her soul made and put on there. I mean, she made it out of ice. And put on there, and it had little teeth and all to the sole, and had a handle to it. She had a pair of pliers made on there,
right.
And then she made a hammer. And what she used, she got her a stick like these sticks that comes in this candy, you know, it's on a stick.
Yeah.
She got one of those and put that for the hammer handle.
Yeah.
And then she's taking up some bubble gum and made the hammer part out, and it looked just like a sharp hammer, not a claw hammer, sharp hammer, and had that on. That was as cute a cake as I ever seen. But, you know, she's older, you know, she got a book that's got all that design in it.
Oh.
And her husband had a birthday, and he loves to have a fish. And she made a boat, and I mean that thing was way like that, and made the boat. And then she had it fixed, you know, and decks. And she had the boat a-leaning like a boat was in water.
Right.
You know, had it lean one side. And had him sitting out there with a fishing pole. Of course, she ordered there. It's candy stuff, you know. But she ordered it, and he was sitting there with a fishing pole, and he had his fish laying down beside her. Now, you know, that was pretty, too.
Yeah.
And she had each section a different kind of a layer, a different kind of flavor.
Well, I didn't know she did those things.
Now, mm-hmm. she's good. Now, I ain't no kidding about it. She's slow, but she can really fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday, little old Janet, her sister, one of the twins, she babysits for a doctor up there, you know, one of those at the medical center. And, so it was his wife's birthday,
mm-hmm.
and she wanted to have her birthday cake, and she called Mary and asked Mary to make her one. And Mary made it, and she had to put it on she got a great big boards like this fixed, you know, and got them all fixed up where they'll hold them. And she fixed a butterfly, and she had the wings, hiring the wings was about like that, you know, on each side. And in the middle, she had that fixed, and she had that yellow, you know, for the body part of the butterfly.
Mm.
And then she had the wings that was in white and green,
mm-hmm.
where it was decorated. And then they had those sticks where, like, butterfly had those things going up like. Now, that was a pretty cake, too.
Mm-hmm.
Janet said that old lady thought so much of it, she even got out and made a picture of it.
Mm.
But, Mary, it takes studying to do those things, but Mary says she goes up at that baker and watches that lady decorate a cake, and she said that lady just and says she's done made hers, but Mary says she can't do it that fast. I don't imagine she ever will, because Mary's slow.
Well, she could do it fast, you know, if she wanted to. She don't have to, does she?
No, she don't have to, but she made one for some beauty parlor her dad's mother. It was her birthday. And she just made hers white with pink roses on it, with the green leaves around on it. And she had the rosebuds around the edge of the cake, side of the cake, and then on top she had the bigger roses. Then she, in there about that long, she had a worm, looked like a worm, was sitting up on one of them leaves. You know, looked like the worm was crawling. He was crooked. That was cute, but I don't believe I care for no worm in my cake. But it did look cute crawling in those rosebud things like.
Phil, I just happened to think about it. We were talking about that down store yesterday. You know that mule you had that got mean every now and then? And you'd have to get your shotgun ass in. How would you catch him when he got in one of them mean spells?
Oh, well, he was out there in that there patch, and I couldn't catch him.
Go from one end to the other.
I got all these folks around here to try to help me. And look like the mole was out there to try to hem him up to catch him the worse he was.
What, he did run through him?
Yeah, yes, sir.
And kick his head is how I think he kicked.
And he'd let you get near about up to him, you know, and then he'd twirl and kick and you'd go, you know.
Oh, really?
I told him myself.
Well, he never did hit anybody.
No, it wasn't his fault, though.
He didn't kick at the cows. That's kind of one.
But he didn't hit them.
No, he didn't hit them. Cows tried out running. But they hit him with all timber. That you just
saw. I told him that.
He just... was he mean or just...
Playing.
Just mean.
Playing.
He was mean, too. She was mean. She was a mare mule. I told him, folks, I said, well, I appreciate you coming down here. I says, that's all right. I says, I ain't gonna bother with him no more. They left. I went on up to the house and got that 410 shotgun.
Yeah.
And I walked on down there and I got up, I guess, about 60, 75 feet from her. Boy, I shot her right up the side. I loaded it and I reckon she was probably 100 feet from her when I shot her the other time. I come on back to the house. When I come back to the house, she was in the barn. Anybody could catch her.
That was a pretty mean one.
And, two great big old men here, you know, wait for Mabel, great big men. And I bought this mule because they didn't have sense enough to know how to use a tractor.
Oh.
And I have Mabel, I told her, I said, if you don't get something to get this crop plowed with, I said, you ain't gonna make none. She said, well, I just got to have a mule. And I went down to sales stable, and I seen this mule, a beautiful animal. And I asked her, I says, Mister, I said, what's the matter with this mule?
Why, hers raised that mule. And you know why hers, I know.
He says, not a thing in the world, says she's sound as a dollar, says, not a thing wrong with her. And I asked him, I said, how much you want for her? He said, $100. I said, mister, there must be something wrong with a mule like that you sell for $100. But I said, if you care out to the house, I says, I'll buy. I said, all right, and he unloaded down there, and I led on up here and put in stockade fed him. I got up and went to work the next morning. The boys got up and went down there, and she run him out of the barn. She get a bag of ears and go at him backwards. I come in that afternoon, and they told me, she said, Mr. Patterson said, we know what's the matter with that mule now. She said, you can't catch her. I said, man, you tell me that a mule in a barn in a smaller place is that, and you can't catch her. I said, my goodness. I went on down there and picked up a whip.
Are they calling them old black snakes?
Just a
bull
whip.
Yeah.
I picked one up and I walked in the barn and I busted the foot butt twice with it and hollered at her.
He can use a whip too. But now he wasn't no twice. He was putting it on her. She was kicking and he was letting her.
Yeah.
And
it's stinging.
I picked up
the whip that long whenever he I picked up the bridle and helped up, told her to come in, and she come stuck it in the bridle. I walked on out there and get to him. I said, see? I said, that mule ain't no trouble to catch.
I'm on my way out. Phil, they have to get to the doctor's by 11:30. And I said, did Mushy come down to see him much? And he brought me up to date on Mushy. Then I asked him about the Davidson's hog program. While we were standing out there on the step. And they had got, I looked out there, and all that land next to the highway had been mowed down or harrowed down, and they said they'd got Jack McCrae to do that for them.
He started out up there, Phil. He may feel that that's his headquarters.
Well, I don't know, but that puppy, boy, that hurt his feelings mighty bad.
Yeah.
And he left.
Yeah.
And they got to where he'd go up there and stay all day, you know, and then he would come down here and we'd feed him in the afternoon, and then he'd go back.
Yeah.
Then after we got the puppy, got where he wouldn't come get his dinner at all.
Wouldn't come. You have to take it to him?
Well, I did for a day or two, and I bought some feed and kept up there, and that woman told me not to do that no more. She took the dog, she'd feed him. So they feed him. He comes down once in a while now, and if he's hungry, he'll tell you he's hungry and we'll feed him.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the smartest dogs I ever saw.
I thought more of him than the dog that I ever had.
He'd mind you? Never give any trouble?
No, not a bit. But he won't pay no attention to me now. He won't mind me. He won't do nothing. He won't even come to me. Mm-hmm. What they were down on the other day, they were down there, and he baited a rattlesnake down there. And he'll find them. Now, if there's one around, he'll find them. And I never knowed him of him killing rattlesnakes, but he'll kill any other kind of snake. He's killed him, but that one, he kept barking. Probably he would have tried to got him, but they went down there and killed him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he found a big moccasin down there the other day, they said.
Did he kill him?
Yeah, no, he didn't kill him. But he did find some small moccasins down there and kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That old boy lived up there, said he was down there loading some that pulpwood, and said he grabbed one of them moccasins and slung the blood all over him, and said he was 10 foot from him. Said he just slung that there snake in two, and said the blood went all over him.
Well, on this enterprise they got over there now, if they buy all their feed, can they make anything?
I don't think so. I don't know, but I just don't believe that people can raise hogs out of brown leaf stone. I certainly don't. I can't see it. Not at the price of hogs now. You know, 18, 19 cents is what they're worth, and my experience is that it takes 3 pounds of feed till a hog gets 150 pounds, and over that it takes 4 pounds of feed to get a pound of hog. I can't see. And after when I come home up there, I had some hogs, and I just experimented, just mess with them. And that was my experience with them, that you if the hog didn't cost you nothing, and your time wasn't worth anything, that the hog possibly would pay the feed bill.
Mm-hmm.
But this boy is making it. I couldn't. Way back several years ago, they had a program that they said that would pay to buy feed from around a feed company and raise hogs that you could make a profit. But it won't do it with the price of hog to spend for the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I don't know this where. I would have thought that this year not being able to sell any hogs or market any hogs in the next 3 months, that I'd have thought probably that would have had some effect on these meat prices. I would have thought it would, but...
Well, that's just Florida.
Yeah. But Mabel bought a case of bacon yesterday, cheaper than it was last month. It was cheaper. She buys bacon from somebody I don't know. She likes it, and she buys a case at the time. And I think it was about 2-3 cents cheaper this week than it was last month. If you can raise those calves and get them started and keep them from getting that big stomach,
mm-hmm.
I believe you can make money with them.
Something like that.
God, it's my skin. Once in a while, so if you smell anything, that's what that is.
Well, how do you do for it?
Well, he's got the, you green it. I mean, it needs cleaning up. Green from that kitchen, and when it rains a lot, you know, the pipes don't care at all off like it ought to.
Oh, I see.
And you ran full of water.
Yeah.
What we spend by the track.
Oh, yeah. And they can
water? They said you can't see them now. So that was one man, you don't feel nothing.
Oh, really?
But when he was cutting the land out there, he had to start to make a turn here, and then instead of releasing that plow back there, that he had just push your foot down on the clutch and ready to jump. And that thing come off the ground like that, jump, trying to pull it, and then makes it pull around. I'm gonna tear that clutch all to pieces, what he's gonna do. Now, I'm not gonna tell him nothing about it, but that's him, but he's gonna catch that. Anybody in the world knows you can't ride a clutch. If you do, you'll eventually burn it up. And he's letting it jump.
Well, I thought...
Push in the clutch and then let it jump. In time to jump out of it. Well, if he would reach back there, to turn that corner, either if, in other words, if he want to turn here like that, and that he don't want to release his plow, take it in about that door out yonder and make the circle, and you come back by, you see, and it'll save that. But whenever you break it,
Abel, a lot of people now, he's good at machinery, because he fixed that well up there when Mr. Pardee, Cecil Pardee, is having trouble with it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, some people have an idea, somehow feel, that nobody else has ever had any experience with them.
With them. But now I tell you, I know by automobiles, I know you can't ride the clutch on a car without tearing it up.
Yeah.
And that track, if I had anybody on that tractor that those gears made fuss, I stopped them. I told them that's what the clutch was on that fuss.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the gear and never screwed the gear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can knock off a car going on, things like that. And but I don't hear him doing that, but I do see him riding that clutch,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to break that land. And if he would go ahead and take him in a big enough land there where he wouldn't have to do that, but leaving that thing a pulling like that and got heavy weights on it too, and then letting that clutch out, you're trying to jump it out of there.
Well,
he's going to tear it up.
You know, I sometimes...
You know something when he tears it up.
I got
him right, and he ought to know enough about machinery to know that.
Well, you know about driving that tractor.
Driving that tractor. I know what you can do to a car. And that tractor, it's in good shape. And that thing is 18 years old.
Never had any trouble?
Now, very little trouble we've ever had with it.
When I was out west, and I went through a stock shed out there with a county fair, and Irene was with me, and another girl was with me, and we got to with them Irish cows, these, you know, them shaggy cows, hair on them, about that long calves, and it's just like silk. It's just as fine and smooth as silk. They're pretty things. Now, you know, they was crazy about them calves.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked the man, and if Irene had any way in the world to have brought one of them calves back, she'd have brought it. She'd have bought that calf.
Was that the Mary over there?
That
granddaughter of ours, she loved
told her that one of them was $350 and the other one was $300. He asked her what the difference was, and all she told him, but I don't know what he said. I didn't pay very much attention to it. But I don't imagine they'd do very good if this summer's down here was hot as last summer. I don't think they'd do very good here. Oh, they're shaggy cows.
Yeah.
They're not big cows.
Well, you know, sheep don't do so good down here.
We bought her a calf. Went out and passed and the calf had just come. And
yeah.
She wanted that calf. Well, they let her have it at that dairy. And it was a white face. Of course, milk. Half of it's milk. You know,
mm-hmm.
Was that. Another mm-hmm. was a white face. Came back home. They said they'd save it for her. She came back home. She made Willie, her husband, go with her. And he told her to get in the truck with him. She said, I'm not going to do it. Something happened this year. This cave while I'm, if I set up that. She got back in the back end of that
yeah.
cave and rode with that cave from Windsor now over here to Mr.
Sure.
And she put that scatter in there on a cow.
Uh-huh.
And that cave has sucked three cows and about 3 or 4 months old. And I'm telling you, it's bigger than that. It's the prettiest thing you've ever seen.
Well, now she's got a cow, hasn't
she's
she?
She's got a cow. But now she does love cows.
Has she got
cows.
Any place to put them?
She got them over that mid down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
they
yeah.
can move their cows out. Mary's going to keep hers.
Oh, I see.
She won't. She, the last calf she had over there was a bull calf.
Uh-huh.
And we tell her we're going to eat that calf. She
yeah.
says, well, you're not eating. She says, they'll set it, but they was not going to eat that calf. But she's got those calf heifers we bought them for that he sold on the
hill. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I tried to get her to let me have those stood horns took off of and we hurt them. She didn't care about that.
All right, that would take them off.
It does bleed when they get as big as they are, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Of course, she couldn't stand that.
How big are they? Big are their horns?
Oh, they're pretty good size.
How long?
Oh, they'll curl all up, you know, just a knot-looking thing.
Well, that might get them. Has she got any place to hold the head?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you won't do it.
I got one of those things. Mm-hmm.
She won't end up do it.
Well, I'll take it over there and tell her. It'll make a better animal out of them.
Yes.
This is the end of the visit with Phil and Mabel. And now down at Jim Gilbert's. Jim was in watching the television after he heard Governor Wallace announce his running mate, the Air Force General, General LeMay, I think it was. And we sat there and talked a little bit over the television. Ms. Gilbert came in, and she's right fresh from a trip to town with her neighbor there, or to Micanopy. They had been cleaning the Baptist church.
But she didn't want to talk about that. And then Jim got off on one of his funny subjects, and that's laughter, that laughter, that laughter.
Well, every Thursday. I just happened to go this morning.
I had been over there. I used to go to Methodist Church. Oh, I don't know that. I haven't been long. I just lost track. How to get along?
All right, I reckon. I haven't been to church really myself. But, she didn't have any help this morning. There's usually a woman helps her up there, and she brings a colored woman, but they weren't going to be there this week, so I thought I'd get some help around. But there really wasn't anything to do, my goodness. Ricky was with her, her grandson, and he runs the vacuum cleaner, so all I did was dust the pews off.
Well, they've got that.
Really nothing to it.
They've got that new chair.
Yes, it's just beautiful in there. I couldn't see where it was even dirty myself. Well, there was one piece of chewing gum where some child had dropped it down on the rug, but thank goodness nobody had stepped on it, so it was just laying there. He got picked it up, took it out.
Yeah.
How you doing? Down the store the other day.
What is that?
We must have told you about.
No.
But you do.
I don't know how it come up. Anyhow, I said, well, I said, your better half was up to the house to sleep with this morning. Boy, she lit in on me. She didn't think you was the better half.
Well, the Pattersons got here a little before you did.
Yeah, they was already up here.
And they had built that house.
Yeah, that was already built. 45.
Hadn't been built long, though, a year or two, I think. About 2 years.
They lived down at...
Mr. Birch built it before he died.
They lived down at... Evanston there before
down
that the house had been built.
Down at the Hester place.
Yeah,
and that big old
two-story house. Yeah. And you all got, how'd you happen to get a hold of this property?
Well, I just come up here on a...
sightseeing tour.
Looking for a place to come to. I'd sold out my place up in Georgia, and I thought maybe I might want to stay in Florida, so I got some leave and come around up here and looking around and happened to bump into this one.
There's an old man walk up it. The Macintosh, the real estate
deal.
So they went to
Ocala. I bumped into him down there.
So he knew about this place.
He knew about this place, so he brought me up here to look at it. So I bought it.
Right off. You didn't have to look around.
No.
Oh,
well, I'd
around.
Looked all around to several places.
We stopped way up on the other side of stuff.
There's a place up there. The, this side of Stark Avenue, it's
Is it this side or both?
It's this side. It was a pretty nice house there, and it was 80 acres of land with it. Went down to Slipper Lake. It won $4,500 for it. I come put nearby, and then I come on down here and seen this place. I'd looked at two or three others over around Wordsdale, they were over. And I finally seen this, and I decided, well, I guess this was it.
Well, now, how much property went with this,
This thing here?
Yeah.
It's 16 acres. Deed says 18 acres, but then when he got it, it was 16 acres. I don't know where they lost it. 2 acres out, I think, when they put this Evanston Road, hard road through there. They taken part of it. Then this was the main highway here. And then when they changed the highway down there, they taken a corner off of it again, see? Mm-hmm. So, and somehow or another, it got down to 16 acres. And then they taken another 6/10 of an acre when they four-laned it.
Yeah.
So that left me 15 acres and 4/10, I think, what it calls for now.
Yeah. Well, now, when you come, this field had been cultivated.
No, it was growed up, but it was cleaned off pretty well. The people that bought it, that I bought it off of, they had Jesse Walker's, what is that Walker boy? Jesse's oldest son, he lives up there yet. He was Frank Walker.
Yeah. I know.
He was working around here with Patterson's, and the people that bought this was friends of Patterson's. And had Frank out here. He cleaned it up. That was all grown up. He cleaned up a bunch around here, and it got to where you could get in there to cultivate.
This is the end of this Channel 1 Over. This is the end of Channel 1 Over, and almost the end of this tape. Just a little bit more of Mr. Gilbert's, and I'll take it over on Channel 2 Right. On Channel 2 Right. Now, this is the end of Channel 1 Over, My Rounds, on Thursday, the 3rd of October, 1968. I've been over with Mr. Patterson and Phil, and now Mr. Gilbert is telling about farming with Mr. Patterson and how he got hold.